Lightweight, baby.
Give it a fair income crack.
Give it a go, mate.
Make sure it sounds about right to me.
I was born in ISO.
Does it sound right? I reckon it sounds right. I wonder if we should ever just take a gamble and just have a go.
No, I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, right. Just test in it. Case. Hold on a second. Yeah, mate, sounds good. Let's run with that one.
Are we ready to roll on that
one? All right, cue the intro.
My name's Ivan, and I'm a scientist by day and a writer by night.
And I'm Daniel. I'm a neuromuscular therapist, and I run my own practice.
And you're listening to the weekly podcast, Journey to Wherever.
Enjoy the show.
Okay.
I'm good. You can't leave too much of a delay after I say
roll the intro,
because then it'll come back on and the viewers won't know what's going on.
Well, now they do.
Listeners.
Now they do.
Well, what episode is it?
Episode 58. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
This is, I'm feeling quite, I'm feeling relaxed, very calm. And episode 58, how are you?
Mate, I'm good, but I'm exhausted.
Exhausted, I know, I can tell.
I'm exhausted mentally, I'm just tired. I think it's been a big week, but I'm super excited for a show. I will bring the energy like it's never been brought in.
To allow you to regain let your energy kind of boost up like a traditional Dragon Ball Z character.
Kamehameha.
Let me just, a bit of a community kind of announcement. If you're a new listener, welcome to the show.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't think we ever do that, eh?
We don't do that. Let's do it from the start. I'll tell you what, everyone. If you like our show, make sure you subscribe, tell a friend, leave a review, rating, or anything like that. You can either pause the show right now, proceed to go ahead and do it.
And if you want to find out anything else about us, journeytowherever.com.
Exactly.
And if you're a new listener, welcome to the show.
Indeed. Welcome.
And if you're just starting to listen to the show because someone's told you about it or you just stumbled across us, you probably stumbled across us because maybe the title of the show is something that's, of interest. So let me give you an insight. Before we actually talk about the show, we do what Ivan calls podcast foreplay. Which is we don't actually talk about the show at the start of the show.
If you want to hear what today's topic's actually about, you can skip ahead 14 minutes.
It's probably not that long. Let's say a max of 10 minutes, I reckon. But it's
every show is different. The way we open up every show is different. This episode opened a little bit funny, a little bit silly, a little bit mic testing. Other times we just roll straight into it.
Yeah, like sometimes our podcast foreplay goes for a little bit too long, but it's okay. But just so you know, we'll eventually get to the topics, but this is how we like to kind of, debrief and warm up, so to speak.
You got to romance a girl.
I've got some funny stories to tell you kind of get things, a little bit warmed up. So I had a funny chat today with a client of mine who's a listener to the show. I won't mention her name, but she's probably listening to this bit right now and absolutely cacking herself. So we were chatting today. And she was just like, it's always like starts off with like, really like what you guys are doing, love the show. She's kind of shares some stories, like I like this bit, I like that bit, it's all real positive type stuff, right? And then she's like, oh, I've been meaning to ask you, because I hadn't seen her for a while. She goes, how's Ivan doing? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, with his weight loss. Oh. And I was like, I said, yeah, look, he's doing really good, on appearance. Honestly, I don't track his grams per day, but he's doing fairly well. She's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, has he shared with you like how much he's, how much he's lost and stuff? And I said, oh, not exactly, but I said, but by look, I'd probably say he's lost anywhere between say 5 to 7 kilos. That's what I'm thinking in my head. And she goes, oh, is that it? And I went, yeah, like that's pretty good. I said, it's pretty good for his shape and stuff. And then she's like, didn't he start this like journey like months ago? And I said, yeah, like he's been training and stuff like that. And she's like, she's like, oh, but shouldn't he, I would have expected him to lose like 10, 15. And I was like, wait, hold on a second. I paused there for a second. I was like, wait, hold on a second. I said, how big do you think he is?
Oh, no.
And she's like, I don't know. I don't know, 100, 120 or something. I said, no, he's like my size. If anything, he's probably smaller than me. And she's like, what? No way. And I said, yeah. I said, what made you think that? And she goes, Oh, because he's just got such this infatuation with fast food.
Oh, no. And let's not tell him what we had for dinner tonight.
And I started laughing goodness. Because I said, this is, I had a feeling this was probably going to happen because, you know, if for those obviously who know Ivan, but if you know him through the podcast, but if you know him like I know him, he's 0 to 100 and he speaks of extremes of all situations. So, like every time when you were talking about your weight loss program, I think probably a lot of people probably thought you were this like, morbidly obese.
I hunt down the food trucks every weekend.
you're chasing down the sausage sizzle van or something. Like, just FYI, guys, Ivan's probably like 5, 10, 11, you know, average weight, like not fat at all. So I just thought I think people out there probably think that you're this like gigantathon type human. And I'm like, and I said to her, no, I said, have you jumped on the Instagram page?
That's what I was going
to
say.
And she's like, oh, you guys got an Instagram page? And I'm like, yeah. And then she was like, oh, that's nothing exactly what I didn't think like it was that at all. And I was like,
she went on the Instagram page.
Yeah, and then saw you. And then she's like, oh, she had painted this picture that you were this like massive
like
dude.
Like the guy out of Austin Powers.
You're like, get in my belly. And I was in stitches. Oh, I thought it was the funniest thing ever. I was like, poor Ivan, he's probably going to think like... So anyways, we'll get it.
I think I dug myself that one. I think you dug... I like your client. You said they were...
But to be fair to her, she hadn't seen what you look like. And because you were like...
There's no hard feelings.
No, I know. But because you were raw and honest with your experience...
Exactly.
Like a lot of people probably assumed you were this like fat shit. Well, you're not a big, you're smaller than me, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's just like, you're a perfectionist of these type of things. And like you, when you hone in on something, you do it properly. So when you were talking about it, I would assume that some people probably thought you were this, you know, massive dude, which you're not. But I thought it was pretty funny how she was like, I had to pause. I was like, wait. How big do you think he is? And she's like,
pretty funny.
Oh, like he's big. I was like, no, he's not big at all. Well, he's too small.
G'day, I'm Ivan. It's nice to meet you.
It's like, hi, I'm Ivan, 5'11".
I'm 173 centimeters tall. Now, look, on a serious note, though, I am down.
Did I guess right, by the way?
No, I've lost more than that.
Oh, you have lost? Yeah. I'm just like, because you're not big anyways.
I was down at my lowest point. I had lost about 10 kilos.
There you go.
10 kilo mark. The last 2 weeks, we had to kind of isolate a little bit.
Yep.
We're all fine. We didn't have any positive tests or anything. It's just kind of formalities because of places we visit and associations and stuff.
Yeah.
So we just had to like throw caution. But I honestly had cooked one too many barbecues. I've done that, I admit.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to start sounding like the vision that she's got. Loving fast food and stuff. So I probably got a little bit comfortable, yeah. Right? And I might have had maybe a Snickers bar here and there.
Oh, look.
So I might have tipped maybe a kilo backwards. Maybe I put a kilo back on. And because I couldn't go to the gym.
Yeah.
You weren't really explaining. In fact, that I could actually go to the gym. I was allowed out. But I didn't want to be that guy.
That's right.
That
you were actually allowed out.
I was actually allowed out, but yeah. I didn't want to be that guy that if hype, like in the remote chance something happened,
yeah.
I didn't want to be the guy that stuffed it up for everybody in the gym.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know what it's like going there, and everyone who's dedicated and addicted to it, and it's
took
that,
one for the
for
team.
Some people, it's like that's their thing.
That's their outlet.
That's
yeah.
their outlet. And I didn't want to be. I didn't want to risk that for others. So yeah. I genuinely didn't go to the gym.
Yeah.
But as you saw tonight, my wife's laid the foot down. She's like, mate, you're going to the gym on Sunday. she just wants to support me and make sure I stick to my goals
so
and stuff
you're
like that.
Doing well as I
predicted. So I've lost, better than what I had thought. Yeah, lost 10 kilos and I don't know what that is in pounds for the American
it's about,
folk.
10 kilos is about 18 pounds.
18 pounds. Almost. Like
so I always think of it, it's like, I think it's 4.5 kilo for yeah. every
So I think pounds. I'm around about... well, sorry, at my lowest point, I got down to about 81.3
yeah.
kilos.
So you're doing well.
My goal was to get to around probably, I was thinking originally 79 before I flip it and start doing more weight training.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I'm going to have to take it down to about 75. I think it's not enough body fat.
So
that's the update. But look, let's not tell her that I had, you know, KFC spicy wings drizzled with honey on it tonight. We'll keep that our secret. But we're getting there.
And another funny one, which I was... Because normally we share these kind of stories.
I love that, by the way. That was a good story.
It was a good story. Yeah. I got another good one for you as well.
Tell her I said hi next time. And thanks for caring. I appreciate it. I'm going to the gym.
You're a fat bastard from Austin Powers.
It made me feel like Made me feel a bit funny then. I was like, oh, I've got to go back to the gym.
No, it was all assumption though. You know, it's not that you, no, she I didn't know, say you have a
fat...
Because
I've done that too. You know, when...
It's like when someone talks about their weight journey, instantly you think someone's like massive. It's a perception.
No, I know. But look, different guys can hold... Like guys can hold weight in different areas. And yeah. For me, I hold it around the midsection. So it's not healthy.
Yeah.
So I held... You're aware like, of it. You're I held Austin Powers.
You,
like,
you went lying to yourself.
Yeah.
One quick story before we get onto the topic, because we're our foreplay is going a bit long as per normal. But this one was a funny one. We normally get to share these things during the week, but we've both had mammoth couple of weeks. So this one was a funny one because I had a client who referred. So I have quite a few clients obviously that listen to the show and whatever. They had another client who referred one of his friends to come and see me. So I had a bit of time, had a bit of a kind of like a bit of a longer admin break than normal, and I decided to go through the list of people that I needed to call that wanted to come and see me. Sometimes I let them call me, but like I thought it'd be a bit more proactive. It'd be like, you know, a bit of customer service.
Sure.
You know, especially being, you know, the principal of the practice, it's not often that, you know, you jump on the phone and you do all this thing. So I thought, oh, I'll do it myself. And I was, you know, ring. And then this guy answers. He's like, hello, you know, XYZ speaking. And I said, hey, mate, it's Daniel Ribeiro here from the Balanced Body Center. And all it's silence. And then he goes, wow, that's freaky. And I went, what? And he's like, sorry. He goes, I was just listening to you in the car.
On the podcast. Yeah. And then you ring.
And then I ring.
It's like the movie 7 Days.
And I was like, he goes, I was just listening to the car. And I was like, in my mind, I have no idea what's going on.
That's
and
funny.
Then it clicked because the guy that referred him listens to the show. And he's obviously told him about that I got the podcast. And he's like, and he just goes, wow, that's freaky. And I'm like, yeah. And then he's like, I was just listening to the show like in the car. And then the phone rings and then it's you. Like, and it's like... Super weird. I was like, oh, there you go. He's like, I feel like I'm speaking to a celebrity. I'm like, oh, not quite, but one day maybe. So I thought you'd like that one. I thought
yeah,
you'd like
that's
that
good.
One.
That's gold.
All right. So
good stories. Oh, well, here like we are. One? Warmed up. Episode 58.
So switching gears, like doing a good, I wanted to speak about today, all facets of loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a few things that have probably happened over the last couple of months, and when these things happen to you and you start reflecting on things that have happened in the past and whatnot, I started thinking about the title of loyalty and what it does. And just from the get, I'm a big advocate of loyalty. Mm-hmm. I think most people are anyways, but people understand the power of loyalty and what it does and the strength that has behind it and the weight that it carries. But then I started to think, you know, like, is loyalty a smokescreen for, like, comfortability? Is loyalty, like, can loyalty sometimes be the, like, a get-out-of-jail-free card? And what I mean by that is it's like, kind of like, you know, when someone's, like, been a friend or someone's been a colleague or whatever, and they've been, you know, quote unquote, loyal to you or to your practice or to your business or to whatever it might be. And then they decide to, after a while, to just leave or like kind of leave you in the lurch. You kind of have this thing where you're like, well, I have this innate feeling that I want to be upset about it all, but I'm not going to be upset about it because they were loyal. It's like, it's almost like, do you think people would use the skill of showing loyalty to then deceive and decept to then get what they want in the long game.
Yeah.
So do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I never really thought about this.
So I never thought of it like this too. Like, I still think as a genuine person that most people would be loyal because they genuinely want to be loyal. But then I started to think, are there more smarter people out there that would play the longer game and show loyalty and be genuine with the loyalty of whatever it is that they're trying to show, but knowing that the end game, they're going to flip, you know.
And gain something out of
it. Which is essentially going to, you're going to be on the bottom end of the stick. You know, and it's like, huh. I never thought of it like that personally, but I'm thinking, It's like that too. It's like, that's why I always say, is loyalty like a smokescreen for being comfortable? Because sometimes someone will be in a job for such a long time and they're a loyal worker. But are they a loyal worker? Or are they just afraid to take risks? And are they not comfortable with their own skills to jump to something and do something different? So they, because they're not like confident, so that they just stay in that job and show loyalty. Because really, the loyalty is a byproduct of them just staying there longer because they're not adequate enough at doing something else.
Interesting. I never really thought about it. I mean, I never really thought about this topic much before, but as you're kind of, you're starting to open it up and share your thoughts on that, I'm starting to run through things in my mind of situations. Things are kind of being triggered as you've kind of been thinking about it. I'm kind of wondering what my feelings are about the whole thing as you're kind of telling us. Almost like this inner self-exploration, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I think you've mentioned this before where you've said there's like different virtues, right? And you kind of had this profound thought when someone said, Daniel, patience is a virtue. Yeah. It kind of hit you, right?
One of my very first student clinic clients. So I was probably like, to be real, probably the second or third person I put my hands on. And it was one of the first things she said to me.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me like glue to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that saying, feel like when she just paused and said, you know, patience is a virtue.
Yeah.
I think there are a number of different virtues out there. Yeah. Not to get too philosophical and deep, but...
But we can.
But I think potentially loyalty for some people is one of those potential things.
Yeah. Like
potential virtue, right?
Yeah.
I would say that like a number of
thoughts. Patience and trust and all that kind of...
Yeah. Trust, yeah. Patience, honesty.
Yeah.
All that, right? Kindness. One thing that kind of comes to mind when you mentioned that, you were saying if someone... say stays with you for a long period of time and then at the end of it tries to get something out of you and you end up on the bottom.
Yeah. Because they're playing with the emotion of the fact that they've been loyal. Like that's why I use the term get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
You know?
I tend to think that the only reason why someone would feel that way at the end of it is if they expected too much out of the other person.
Okay.
Or they expected them not to do that. So if you expect loyalty out of somebody,
yeah,
and it's you expecting it from somebody else,
yeah,
I think you've got more of a chance of being let down.
Yes.
Because humans will be humans.
Yes, of course.
And their intention may not be to do you
to
over,
let you down, yeah.
To stop, you know, to screw you over or stab you in the back or whatever.
Yeah.
But in life, different people have to look after their own. So they got to do certain things. They got to kind of progress in life. And you get to a point where people's situations change.
Mm-hmm.
They need different things out of life. They need to explore different things in life. Their situation changes where they might need to start focusing on themselves more because they maybe
they've got to be a bit more selfish.
They
too.
Need to be a little bit more selfish because they kind of give too much to others too much. And then they get to a point where like, you know, I think I need to start looking after myself.
Yeah.
So they finally do. And then the person who's expected loyalty out of that person gets the surprise.
Yeah.
So I think that's where people get let down.
Yeah.
If you don't have an expectation of somebody else,
that's the main part.
Less likely to be let down.
Yeah.
And I think that's the first thing. One of the things that it was interesting, you kind of brought up the whole idea of, does someone really kind of be loyal to like a job? And I'd go so far as to say, yes, 100%. If you work for a company, I mean, because you run your own practice, like it's your own clinic, right? That's your thing, you know. Yeah. You're the boss, you know. But for those who work for another company, work for another family business, for those who work in the corporate space, if they get very attached to the values of the company, the team and the people there, the work that they're doing, the feeling of what would be the word? The feeling of purpose that the job gives them, they can become very loyal to that job.
Yeah.
I know I've been very loyal to companies that I've worked
at
before.
Me too. Personally, in every job I've personally ever held down, I've always like stayed there to the longest I possibly can based on that stage of my life.
True. Yeah.
You know?
Until you get to a point where you're like, now's my time. Well,
now,
shift.
You know, I've finished school. Now I've finished uni. And now yeah. I've got, you know, I mean, you kind of like go to the different stages based on that. But I've never kind of chopped and changed. Like, yeah. I speak from that regard.
Yeah.
You know? But essentially where I was coming from, playing a bit of a, that devil's advocate and just kind of listening to other clients' stories and just kind of blending them with things that I've come across, things that have happened to me. And it's like, could it like, if, yes, you could be attached to a business or it could be the corporation itself. But I'm thinking like, you kind of just see some people and you're like, well, are they just, have they just locked down that skill so much they're just comfortable? And because they're comfortable.
For some people.
Yeah, that's, which is fine. I'm not knocking it, but because they're comfortable, they're happy with the incremental pay rise. They're happy with the fact that it's close to home. It ticks a lot of boxes.
Mm.
Maybe they don't have huge aspirations to climb the corporate ladder. They're just happy to stick there.
Mm.
But their skill, they're aware of their skill level not being good enough to jump ship.
So, they're being loyal because they have fear of stepping outside of their situation. And
as a byproduct, I was like, oh, wow, look at Ryan here. Jeez,
so they're staying loyal.
He's been in this company for 14 years. It's like he's been doing the same thing 14 years.
So you're questioning, to put it like this, are some people staying loyal to a company or role or job or person or club, whatever it is, because it offers them the security where they don't feel like they have to go and answer to themselves?
I've probably lately started to think that might be the fact that they've just like, it's a false earned loyalty. It's like, if you deep down inside really think if you could have done something else, would you have done something else? Mm. I think most people, if given the opportunity and given a skill, a new skill to then go over here on this side or possibly over there on that side and maybe gain something else, would they, or would they still be loyal? Because I look at this smoke screen of loyalty, and I'm only playing devil's advocate because I'll reiterate the fact that I'm a huge advocate of loyalty, and whichever way it's interpreted, I think there's no negative connotation that's attached to the term loyalty. But if we're going to play along with the idea of it, could their lack of skill
100%.
Earn them the tag of being loyal. Yeah, very much
so. You look at some relationships that people stay in where it's not the best relationship.
Yeah.
For guy, girl, whatever it is, they sometimes stay in a relationship that might be abusive, whether it be physical, verbal, whatever.
But
they will stay loyal to that person.
Because
they're afraid of stepping away and being on their own. Having to face the world.
Yeah.
Not being potentially financially supported, if that's the case.
Not having the confidence to potentially meet someone new.
Feeling like maybe they're inadequate, feeling like it's their fault, you know, when certainly not.
Yeah.
So they would, you know, there's probably a sense of loyalty that they're showing, but it may not be genuine loyalty.
So but using that same example, sorry to cut you off, but using that exact same example, like what I was saying before about someone looking at the long game, right, they might be in that relationship, and it might be an abusive relationship, or it might not be, but there might be a monetary gain at the end. Male, female, doesn't matter, right? They might go, you know, let me stick it out, let me have a few kids, because I really don't like this person, but
their family's got a lot of money. But their family's wealthy,
or I'm going to gain something out of it, and I'm going to show loyalty. And if I show loyalty in the eyes of the court, once it's all said and done, and I want my divorce, so to speak, and I'm out, they win because of their loyalty that they showed by getting married. But the long game
gaining. I know where you're going with it,
and I know this is very cynical to a way of looking at things, but.
No, we ask questions. But it's a reality, though. Regardless of whether it's our view or not, it's more of a question. I certainly get where you're kind of going with it. I'd go so far as to say, loyalty. If you ask 10 different people in a room, what does loyalty mean?
Yeah,
I'm sure you'll get probably 50% of the people give you roughly the same answer.
Yes,
the remaining 50% will probably give you very different answers of what loyalty means to them.
Yeah,
I'd go so far as to say, I reckon there's people out there that would, if they
stayed in a job or in a relationship or in a tied to a certain club or a sports team,
whatever it is,
for 10 or 20 years.
Yeah.
And they didn't waver because they knew at the end of it they were potentially going to get something out of it, but they didn't waver. They stayed true to that club. They were loyal.
This is
for that 20-year period.
Yeah, this is what I was getting
at. And I would say I don't think it's necessarily right or wrong, because true altruism, like being truly altruistic, where you go into something with no expectation of anything for yourself,
mm-hmm.
I think is almost unicorn. I would go so far as to say, is there such thing as being truly altruistic,
no.
which is a underlying trait of loyalty?
Yes.
I don't even know if that exists.
No,
it because
doesn't.
I think human beings in their true essence need
to gain
require
something.
Needs to be fulfilled.
Yes, of
emotional
course.
Needs, physical needs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of different needs that humans have to get.
100%.
Not because that makes them feel good, but because that's how they live. They survive. They literally can't. Their body will not continue to function after a certain period of time
mm-hmm.
if they don't get their needs fulfilled.
Yeah.
So. You know,
What I'm saying is, and you know, I agree with you. Like, if let's just use a soccer player, for example.
Yeah.
He's had many opportunities to join different clubs, this and that, all the offers, all the money, but he's a one-man club, stays with them right to the end, and then for whatever reason, you know, leaves or whatever. It's like, they're still technically loyal.
That's an interesting one, because you know, I sit on the other side on that view.
Yeah.
And you're a big sports person, right? So I'll give you this view and I want to see what you think, because I just gave you the view before around, or the explanation around loyalty and what that could mean. However, in sports,
mm-hmm.
I'll often see someone who has played for a certain team
uh-huh.
and they, in footy or soccer or whatever it is, football, soccer, you know, if you're in Europe or something like that, football equals soccer, that's what we call it here. But otherwise, football is like your AFL, your NFL, your NRL, your rugby.
Yeah.
If someone's playing in one of those teams, often I see them, a player's playing, and then all of a sudden, the next season, they're off playing another team wearing another jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Or better yet, one coach hops from one club to another.
Yeah.
I never understood that.
Yeah.
For me, and I don't know if it's because of maybe martial arts background, I was loyal to one particular club. I don't know what it is. Maybe I just kind of wear my heart on my sleeve. But I think that if you've dreamed about playing for, and there's a certain number of players that do this. They mm-hmm. really stick true to the club,
mm-hmm.
but there are a large bunch of them where they would go and join up to a club.
Yeah,
they'll put the jersey on. They'll play for a few years. Then they get a better offer and they move somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Which is very common.
Which is very common. And I always look at it. My first initial thought is, where's your loyalty?
Yeah,
like don't you put that jersey on? Your fans don't go from club to club.
Yeah,
they stay for the purple and the blue, or the green and the yellow,
whatever,
or the white and the red, whatever the color is, they wear the jersey. They show up every season. They get the season passes. They don't waver, and the fans for the rest of their life. But all of a sudden, these coaches and these players go from team to team.
Yeah,
I can understand the year that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of these players, it's their job.
Yeah,
and just like we swap jobs and we go to different companies for a different offer.
That's how they
so
say
will
too.
They.
Yeah.
That's how they'll look at it. I get it.
Yeah.
I think that's largely the it's probably the sport's fault in some regard, because they don't look after their players enough. They've changed it to the point where it's, if you don't perform, if a coach misses out two games and is a loss,
it's down.
You got to start to look around who we're going to sign up next, because you're not allowing our club to win.
Pretty much.
We're not going to get enough sign-ups.
Yeah.
We're not making enough money. We need a new coach. And they'll fire the coach.
Yeah.
To me, I think the clubs play a large role in promoting and encourage loyalty. And I'd go so far as to say, let's flick back to your original topic. If you look at any company that someone works for, mm-hmm. if you look at any relationship, loyalty is two-way.
Yes.
You can't expect loyalty out of someone if you're not going to give them an equal, if not more, loyalty back.
Yeah.
People should, if you want a true loyal relationship, you should be competing with each other who can give more loyalty.
Exactly.
That's the only golden way.
Yeah.
To have true loyalty and maintain it and thrive with it.
100%. Give loyalty. View. And you're, like you mentioned, a big thing about, like, and I'm a big believer in not expecting anything in return. The moment you enter in any form of relationship, whether it business, whether it personal, whatever, the moment you start to look down the line and in expecting in return, is it can be dangerous, but it's a natural innate feeling to have. Mm. You love someone, you want them to love you back.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like you build something for someone, you want to be rewarded in a certain sense. But some people are a bit more patient. Like personally for me, I've never been the, and this is not fluffing me up or anything, but I've never needed the pat on the back constantly. Mm. But there are some people that need to be managed that way. And then when you do that, they give you more. They give you more loyalty, et cetera, et cetera.
Very personality driven.
It just depends on the personality, which is fine, right? But it's like, it's exactly what you said. Like you, there's a thing that's tagged to loyalty that you, it's a trait that can't be removed.
Mm.
You can't be loyal to someone. You can't be like, oh, this is my loyal friend. How long have we been friends for? 3 months. Like that doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like a loyal friend, for me, it's something that's tagged to the term longevity. It has to be long to, depending on the case, but it's normally attached with some length of time.
Would you apply that to everything or just relationships? What about companies you work for or teams you play for? Do you think do you think loyalty is always tied to longevity?
I think so. I think it becomes a loose term then. It's like everyone's someone's friend.
What about depth of commitment?
Yeah, I think it's a time thing. Again, it's case by case, right? Mm. But you can't say this is a loyal employee, for example, and they've been here for 6 months. Unless the track record of the company has a turnover of like new staff every 12 to 18 months on average, then maybe it is a loyal employee. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But to me, the term loyalty is tagged with longevity. You've been with this person or company or something for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
So that you can't remove from the tag. For me personally, you can't remove that from the tag of loyalty.
So I'll ask you this question then, because I'm starting to think, right? So for you, because I think you're a loyal person. Mm-hmm. You as a person, one of your traits is loyalty. Mm-hmm. You're loyal to your friends, you're loyal to your family, you're loyal to your anyone you care about, you're loyal to.
Mm-hmm.
You're loyal to your businesses and the services you provide to your clients. You're loyal to what you kind of stand for and your views. To me, you that is one of your traits. Mm-hmm. You're a loyal person. And when I say that, I see that to the point where I don't often see you do things with the expectation of return. In fact, it's difficult for me to openly see you do things with the expectation of return.
It's something that I've consciously aware of.
Yeah,
that I remind myself when I'm doing something. As I've gone older, it's getting easier. But especially when I was younger, it was harder. But more so now, there's zero expectation out of the person or the family or the business, whatever it is, whatever I'm doing it because I want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to your credit. Like you, As I said, I find it difficult for me to think of situations where I've done something because you're expecting something in return. Mm. I can't openly remember a time when you do that.
Mm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with hoping or aiming or strategizing to get something in return if you're going to be loyal.
Yeah.
Because
this is where
not for everything, but for some things, I think it's okay. Because if someone's going to, you know, dedicate themselves to a job, you know, 38, 40, 45 hours a week, 50 hours a week, whatever it is per week, and they're going to get their paycheck at the end of it.
Yeah.
If they're dedicating their time, well, they should be dedicating their time when they're at work to be at work.
Yeah.
And they should be loyal to
the job that they're doing.
Job that they've been tasked with.
Yeah.
The employer's turned around and said, look, I'm going to give you a go. You've told me this is the skills that you've got. So I'm going to take a chance on you. We'll pay you for your time. Mm-hmm. Show me what you got.
Because it's worth both ways. Because
it's a transaction.
Yeah, it's a transaction.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
But there can be some loyalty there. But the person can be like, look, I really hope that if I be loyal here and I show you I'm dedicated and I put in my hours, I'm hoping I'm going to get a promotion after this in 2 years' time.
Yeah, when you put
in loyalty. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
So
no,
I'm curious from your angle, do you think it's acceptable and is there a time where you would not necessarily do things for a gain, but you know maybe you are loyal, but you would hope at the end of it something good comes out of it. Not the expectation on the person.
Hope.
But you've got to hope that something good will come out of it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I often use that term when I'm speaking to Tash. Like I hope out of this, whatever it is that I'm doing, whether I'm training someone, whether I've got someone on board, whether it's a colleague, with whatever it might be, or a training partner, I always hope that something positive comes out of it. But whatever that is, I kind of let it be, whatever it might be. Like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it might be something so left field. When I was younger, definitely, I used to probably expect something out of it, which then in return, maybe, even though I've probably got something out of it, which when I look back, it was probably good. But then I look back and I go, oh, back then I'm thinking, oh shit, they should have done this or they should have done that, you know? But yeah, I'm getting better at it now as I get older. But to answer your question, I probably tend to rely more on the hope aspect. Mm. It's kind of like that whole karmic thing. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I know it's woo-woo, but it's just how, you know.
I wonder if that's a maturity thing though.
It definitely is a maturity thing. Because when I was in my 20s, everything felt very transactional. Because that's how I thought the world worked. And to a certain degree, it does. But good strange things happen when you apply the hope thing, you know?
So would you go as far as to say, I mean, now this is going to sound like a little bit metaphysical, right? But I'm sure there's some listeners out there that think and follow this kind of view. But, and the whole idea, I think you mentioned the word karma just then. Yeah. Do you think that if you put out a good level of energy into the world, call it loyalty, that you, in your heart, you know you're doing the right thing, you're trying to do the right thing, you're paying it forward. Do you think that the world collects all of that currency that you're putting out there and someday will just kind of pass it back your way and reward you for that loyalty? Do you think the world, the universe, life, whatever you want to call it, like whether you're religious or not, just whatever's outside of us, whatever it is,
I think
do you think the laws of nature give us something back for being loyal?
Yes. I think as you get older as well, and for me personally, I think as you get older, I think you become more consciously aware of your surroundings and you become consciously aware of what I like to call your conscious peacefulness. So for me, knowing that I'm doing the right thing, or how I perceive is doing the right thing, like because I've got a very deep conscious, if I feel like for example, let's just say we're doing this podcast here and I have this feeling that I might have hurt your feelings or I might have said something to it that upset you based on the way I've probably analyzed your facial expression, I personally can't go to sleep at night without trying to address it.
It's funny how you talk. I'm sitting here thinking in my head, I'm like, you know, you must sleep really well at night. Yes. I'm saying this in my head. I'm like, this is why you sleep well
this
at night.
This is why I sleep like an absolute rock.
Like the guilt feeling of on your head because you go at things with such honesty like that.
Yeah. That's how I approach it. It's like it's the conscious peacefulness is what I crave. And, you know, I don't love sleep, but I love to know that I'm rested. And if I'm rested, like that's like the base to everything. If I'm rested, I can then tackle the day and go about it. I can't be rested if I know that there's certain ways that I'm going about in life that isn't the right way per se. If I'm, you know, whatever it might be, rather than rattle off all different things. But that's for me is like, as I've gone older, more consciously aware, and then like the noise, because there's so much happening. Do you know what I mean? Your children, kids, and their school, and your work, and your relationships, and friends, and family, and different texts are coming left, right, and center. I kind of like to kind of settle the day, and I like to have that conscious peacefulness. I like to be able to go to bed and go, nothing's bugging me, I'm good. For me personally, do you know what I mean? So to answer your question, by putting out good deeds, I'm not a big fan of actively seeking deeds. You know, as people that go out and they you know, record YouTube videos of them giving $10 bills to a homeless person. I don't mean that. I mean, like, within your circle, within the people that you know,
pay it forward.
You're paying whatever it is forward.
Yeah.
I feel like if you do that consciously and you're not chasing it, then, you know, you can, you achieve conscious peacefulness.
Yeah.
That's to answer your question. Yes.
I agree. And I think, you know, there's this cliche saying, you people have probably seen like the posters and the stickers and the light up banners and the neon lights, that whole saying of good vibes.
Yeah.
I think that putting out good vibes, feeling good vibes, probably helps facilitate a lot of what you've kind of explained.
Do you do the same?
Rather than sussing out the good deed.
Do you do the same?
No, 100%. Yeah. I agree. I certainly...
You don't strike me as someone that's actively seeking good deeds, but within your circle of whatever it is that you're doing, you aim to do the right thing. And I know this is probably sounding very dicky and noble and whatever, and everyone's probably thinking, yeah, I do the same thing too. But like, there are some people that are in certain roles, for example, certain jobs that they're guided by their employers to do something that isn't necessarily... It's not going to sit with someone. It's not going to sit right with someone. Do you know?
I would not
struggle in those jobs.
So would I.
I have huge credit for those people that mm-hmm. can do it because they've got a really good switch on, switch off button, right? Yeah. But like, I've almost gotten to a point where I almost feel like I'm like consciously sensitive in a sense where if I feel like it's not even the right thing to do,
Your moral compass.
It's almost like that's why I've brought the whole thing up about loyalty. It's like, wow, it's weighing so heavily to a point where, like, am I looking too much into it, or should I just kind of just go with the flow?
I think you should just go with the flow. To be honest, I think
that's what I think too. That's why I kind of bring it up.
If you're putting out, you know, the good energy and you're doing the good deeds, not because you're seeking them, but if something is presented in front of you, we have a choice. We can either act on it and do good, or we cannot act on it and don't do good.
Yeah.
I think you can, I mean, we spoke about loyalty, but I think it bleeds into lots of different things. Something as simple as when you go through, you know, a drive-through window. Me talking about food again. If you go to a retail store, you're gonna go buy yourself a new pair of jeans or a t-shirt or a dress, whatever it is. And the cashier goes and gives you the bag, and you just walk off.
Yeah.
By not saying thank you.
Yeah.
And genuinely just saying thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And then walking off. We've got a choice there. We can be kind and do something like that, or we don't be kind and we don't do something like that.
Yeah.
And of course, everyone has bad days. We don't. Sometimes you do, sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
You know, I think that also comes down to, even if you're having a bad day, trying to stay loyal to your own values in that regard. But no, look, I think back to your original point. Yes, I'm the same. I would kind of see myself like that. I think you're very aware of doing that too, and that's like to your credit. When I was younger, that's why I said, is it a maturity thing? Because I think it comes with maturity. Because I think as I've kind of gotten older, for me personally, I think, let's compare it back when I was, say, younger. When I was younger, even how I would approach a relationship.
Yeah.
If I was in a relationship, pick high school, for example, and I had a girlfriend in high school, whatever. If I feel that she wasn't committed to me and she didn't have the same level of feelings as I had to her, I could not be in a relationship with them. I had to end it there and then.
Mm.
Like, I just couldn't stay with you.
Yeah.
Because I felt, if I'm giving you this level of commitment, i.e. loyalty...
Considering I'm putting
my heart on the line for you, then I expect that back.
Yeah.
And as I've gotten older, it's not that I don't expect it now. I get the whole thing about hope and stuff, but there's more on the line now where you have to keep putting in the effort in life if you want things to continue to work well.
Yeah.
You can't always just expect things to come out of it because you've entered into a contract, into a relationship, or you've signed up for the job.
Now, as I've gotten older, I scratch your back, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, as I've gotten older, it's, I'm going to scratch your back for 5 minutes longer than you'll even try and scratch mine.
Yes.
With the hope that maybe something will come out of it, but if it doesn't, I'll try again.
Yeah, because expecting...
And if it doesn't, I'll appreciate that you might not, so I'm not going to continue giving you my energy, but I'm not going to hate you for it.
Because that's assuming that someone is going to do this exactly the same transactional thing for you.
Yeah.
And that's that's probably a topic for another day, like in terms of the term assumption. Like, it's very easy to go, like, I really, like, you know, there are certain relationships where people are like, oh, you know, I really love this person. Mm. You know what I mean? But that person doesn't vocally say it,
yeah,
but they feel it and they do things in a different way
Yeah.
Maybe they're more of an action speak louder type person, and they give that love back in a different way. But because they don't give it the way you do it, you're assuming that they're not loving you the same, and they're not loyal to you. So assumption's a big thing when it comes into loyalty. It's like assuming someone is not being loyal to you because you've done this for them, and they should do the same thing for you. That's very dangerous as well.
100%, I agree.
You know,
and I've experienced things like that in life on both sides, like me thinking that about something, like thinking as in expecting that, and then me looking at it from a different angle,
yeah.
or me receiving that and then thinking, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And I think when you've got two different views that come together, you kind of ask yourself, well, who's right and who's wrong? Sometimes it's not about who's right, who's wrong.
Yeah.
It's more about, well, who empathizes with the other person's right or wrong more.
That's right.
And are you kind of conscious of how that person is?
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes a question, a conversation of, well, am I acknowledging and respecting, appreciating what you're feeling and what you're trying to commit to? If I am, but you're not,
yeah,
then I don't feel you're loyal in this whole relationship either.
Yeah.
So therefore, there could be a disconnect there, I guess.
And that, again, that's a tricky one because it's an assumption as well, right?
Yeah, I guess.
You know, that's why I kind of was like bringing it back to like to the start. It's like the smokescreen of loyalty. You know, is it like is it comfortability, all those things? It's like, should loyalty have all that weight? Like, do you know what I mean? Like for example, in a deck of cards. And I don't even know, but I'm assuming is the ace the strongest card, right?
Depends on the game. Let's just say it is.
Let's just say it is, right? It's like, let's just say loyalty, leadership, kindness, you know, all those good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? You would imagine that a lot of people would rank loyalty probably in the top three, maybe even in the top two. I'm saying, and this is hard for me to say because like I'm a loyal person.
Mm. Do we give it too much weight? I don't think so.
And it's not necessarily in comparison to something else. Like what else would you rank above it? It's like, is the weight warranted?
I think it depends on the situation.
It's definitely situational.
I think it depends on the situation and its context.
Yeah.
I think that if the thing that you're playing at doesn't have a significant weighting for you or others.
Yeah.
Right? Taking your values out of it. Because some people have to do something fully pot committed. Like, they have to be loyal so that they can stand by their value of not ever giving up.
Yeah, okay.
So they'll stay loyal to that. So park that because that has a little bit of bias in it, right? Mm-hmm. But if someone wants to be, feels like they have to be loyal in a situation... I can't remember where I was going to go with this. I think I just nailed it with that comment that I was just trying to make.
You did, actually.
I was like, shit, I just blew it out, like, taking it out. I think, look, because some people might be loyal because of that reason.
Yeah.
If they're not loyal because of that reason, then you've got to kind of look at the situation. It might not be so serious.
Yeah.
Right? It might be, I'm going to take this job, I'm going to be loyal, and I'm going to do the best that I can.
Mm.
For them, that's loyalty.
Yeah.
And they'll go there and they'll show up on time every single day, and they'll do the best they can. But as soon as the boss turns around and goes, you're a minute late today, mate.
Yeah.
Don't let it happen again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yet you stay back 45, 50 minutes, yes, an hour every single day in the afternoon, but no one ever comes and goes, excuse me, mate, you're hanging back too long. You need to go home to your family.
Yeah, no one does.
Then they start asking questions. Well, yes. Why am I being loyal? That's why am I showing up on time and staying back for you when you question me? Yeah. And I've had that before.
And then, sometimes when you actually have that conversation, that employer will be like,
but that's expected.
It's like, well, they might even say, oh, I didn't ask you to stay back.
Exactly.
It's almost like, fuck, what are you? That's like a double slap in the face.
Exactly.
Because you're almost better off you're almost wanting them to say, oh, well, that's expected, as opposed to, well, I didn't ask you to stay back.
Exactly.
It's almost like, oh, so like, you've noticed and you still haven't acknowledged it, kind of thing, you know?
And that comes down to the whole expectation thing of what people expect out of it, right? Expectation is
assuming that, oh, I'm doing an extra 15 minutes, they're going to notice. It's like, yeah, they're noticing, but they don't give a flying shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think it depends on the situation.
Well, that's the thing I was getting at. It's like, that's why I asked the question. It's like, does it carry that much weight? Because again, probably getting really cynical, but it's like, can you sometimes use a loyalty card to do things that don't, you wouldn't imagine as like tagging the words deception to it. Like, could you be so loyal to someone
It's deceptive.
That you're deceptively like doing something else.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's the thing kind of concerns me with when someone's like loyal. It's like, how, like, wow, really? You've been here for that long? Like, it's like, is it a deception tactic as well?
But then how patient are they?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because the reward at the end of it.
Let's just say at the end, they were deceptive. They got what they got. Oh, but they were still loyal. You know, it's like, oh, well, we can't really... We can't put the gauntlet on. Lay the gauntlet down on them because they were loyal.
If that's the thing though.
It's like, oh, but I look at it loyal?
In that regard, where I'm like, I look at it in that way. I'm like, well, did they show up every day?
Yeah.
Did they? Like, if you're a brickie.
Yeah.
It's like, how many houses did they build for you?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, 500.
Yeah.
How many bricks did they lay?
Yeah.
I don't know, 500 times 100,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And did they take a sickie? No, they just showed up every day.
Yep.
So at the end of it, when they asked to kind of be able to buy your business out, and they were the first person to knock on your door, and you think that they're stabbing you in the back because they want to buy your business out now as soon as you broke your leg and there's a sign that you might not be there.
Yeah.
Is it bad? Like, they showed up for you every single day.
Or it could be like, you know.
Or they go, oh, look, I need to make a few extra cash. I'm going to go and work as a carpenter at the same time. But you're loyal to my bricky business. And
in your territory.
Yeah.
And taking all the staff.
That's a good example.
Like, you know, I've worked with you. You've asked me to be the manager. I've hired all these people for you. And you know what? I actually know how to operate this system better than you now because you're a little bit older and your systems are archaic. Rather than you peacefully go and do something else or sell the business or retire or whatever it might be, I'm not going to allow you to do that. I'm going to set up my own business, which I'm entitled to do, advertise in the same areas, which I'm entitled to do. And because I'm leaving, and I'm not poaching these people, but because these people were hired by me for you and I trained them for you, they just leave and come work for me because I maybe be paying them an extra dollar or two. So, but they were loyal. It's like, well, how am I supposed to get angry at him? He worked for me for 20 years. But at the end, he crushed your nutsack.
I know. I would look at
it like
this.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
I look at it like this. And maybe it's just a trait of being able to sit on both sides of the fence at the same time and look at both sides of the story.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, I don't either.
But at the same time, maybe the approach taken to get to that spot might have been a little bit different.
Yeah.
If I was in that situation, I'd be sitting the person down and having a conversation and say, look,
yeah,
I really appreciate everything you've done for me.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you've felt that I've given you some value. But I feel it's my time to move on.
Yeah, it's my time to step up.
It's my time to step up and kind of do my own thing. And the if
you have that relationship with that person will probably happily hand the crown over to you.
Yes, and I've been in that exact situation before.
So have I.
So, for example, when I first started back in martial arts training days, mm-hmm. I was loyal to the club. I trained in the club and it was a great club and, you know, made a lot of lifelong friends. But there came a point where I was like, I want to start my own thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go and teach that particular type of martial art.
Yeah.
I want to go and start my own thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go and open the school up in your club.
Yeah.
But I am going to go up the road and open one up because I can't travel too far because this is where I live.
Yeah.
And I know the area.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go and open up there, but it's going to be a different club.
Yeah.
Right? I wouldn't go knocking on the door and be like, you know, I wouldn't be standing out the front of their school and handing out my flyers as their students are walking out. Certainly wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'd go into the area and that's where you live in a free world. You can
do whatever
get
you want.
Students.
Yeah.
But I have had the conversation where it's like, I appreciate what you're doing and hopefully we can collaborate in the future. I can run a class. You can come and help out. I can come back to you. We'll share knowledge and you support each other.
Yeah.
I think that's the way you should go about doing it. As soon as someone turns around and goes, I'm out. Fuck you. I don't give a shit what's happening to you
anymore.
That's
what I'm
saying. I'm going to go start my own thing.
I'm going more like the raw, like, you know, rip a Band-Aid off type, the painful ones. Like, I know it's case by case and there's communication. There's a lot of different things that are going on with that kind of type of scenario. But I'm going for the worst case scenario, right? That's why I brought up the whole, well, I'm just going to go up here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to take these people with me. And
yeah.
And you're pretty much done, essentially. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I'm thinking it's like the loyalty aspect carries so much weight to the other side too, you know? That's the thing
yeah.
I'm like, you know, throwing out there.
If I had a student that was training in my school and I was teaching my system of self-defense. And then they went there and studied for 6 months or a year, then didn't show up one night. And then I looked down the road or the next door and they opened up a school teaching that, my exact thing.
That's not loyal enough. 6 months to 1 year. Like, I'm talking about...
Even 3 years. And I thought they were dedicated. 3 years,
someone's been...
We had dinner. We broke bread together,
You
broke
bread
say,
together. Right? He's like, you know, for argument's sake, you're black belt or you're brown belt or whatever. Yeah. I know you didn't have belts in your system, but do you know what I mean? Like, you ranked him high to a point where you even allowed him to, he or she, to teach some of your classes in your
And then
absence.
Without telling me, just went and opened up another school teaching exactly like for like what I was teaching other people.
Just kind of put a different spin on it.
I'd be like, the hell? That's a bit fucking dirty.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it?
Like,
it's a tricky
one. I would have thought, oh, it's a bit dirty. And then I would have been like,
okay.
But then straight away, the first thing that I was just thinking, I'm like, so what would I think and feel? The first thing to me, this is genuinely what came to mind. I was like, all right then, well, I'm going to have to work harder to get them back again. Not them back, but get my business back.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I went into competition mode.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have an expectation. You can't care that much because the only person that's going to... Because they're not suffering.
Yeah.
They're out there making bang. Mm-hmm. They're making buck. They're out there doing what they're doing. The only person that will suffer if you really dwell on it that much is yourself. So you got to kind of, in that situation...
And like you said as well, people's situations change as well. There's sometimes people when they start with you, they genuinely start with you because they enjoy everything about your system, your job, or whatever it might be. But over time, they might now want to be able to own their own home, get a mortgage, save some money. All of a sudden, their priorities change to, yeah, I want to be loyal to you, but I kind of need to step up. I need to do certain things. Mm. And if I stay here, well, I become stale and I can't progress. So then the loyalty is bent a little bit because... Well, all I know is what you know, but maybe I know it a little bit better, or maybe I know it a little bit more different. Do you know what I mean? So then I do go down the road. So situations do arise where people's situations change as well. Mm. And it could be a person, like sometimes it might be the fact that they're massively understressed and it's compromised their thought patterns. Like I've almost to a sense been sympathetic in that in that sense where you don't really know what people are going through.
Mm.
You can always assume. You can always kind of guess. You've been with that person for 10, 5 years, whatever, and you kind of can put your nail on the head as to what it is that caused them to react that way.
But you don't really
know. But you don't really know until you're in the same four walls as them.
Mm-hmm.
So you always got to give someone the benefit of the doubt. Even if you, like it's just typical social psychology, you know, like you can analyze it to the absolute T, but until they tell you the exact reason, then you don't know. You really don't know.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And I think that goes back to the original points when we were speaking about not expecting something in return. Because we're right now analyzing it from the point of what if we're loyal, but we get mistreated. Or if we're trying to be loyal and we get mistreated. It's only one side of the fence.
That's right.
So if you don't ever genuinely expect anything so that you don't, possibly find yourself
and for
in
the
a position
out there,
to let...
That's a real... It's something that you have to actually sit and it's almost like a meditative... Like to how I interpret not truly expecting anything. Mm-hmm. You almost have to like sit and meditate the thoughts of expectation out of you.
Mm.
I know that sounds, again, sounds very woo-woo.
Yeah.
But you almost have to like energetically push it, push the wanting something in return out of you and maintain the giving aspect without the return. Does that make sense?
No, I totally get it.
To me, I almost feel like it's not even a thought task. It's a sit down, process, meditate, and energetically get that thought process out. The whole, you know what? I'm going to go to this dude's house. I'm going to help him build this thing, or I'm going to go there and I'm going to do his website for him. You know what? There's a whole heap of things that he could do for me in return. I'm not going to hold him. I'm not going to hold his skills ransom to me. I'm just going to do it because I actually genuinely want to be there for that person.
Yes. And I think
that's one thing as well. It's this holding someone ransom to like the psychological ransom aspect.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
In totality. Yeah. I think it's 100%. I think it's a good way to go about it. With one exception.
Okay.
If you know or you truly believe that the other person is potentially going to take advantage of you anyway, and you know that they are, and or you strongly suspect that they are, and you feel that at the end of it, they're going to keep doing that to take advantage of you.
Yeah.
I do not agree with continuing to be loyal.
Of course.
When you openly know that that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's just taking, taking the piss.
But it is, but then it goes into the point where... Then it ends up becoming the point where, right back to our original conversation...
The deceptive aspect of being loyal. The
relationship where someone stays in it...
Yeah.
And they stay loyal...
Because
they're afraid to go.
But they also know what's in store, like what they're entitled to by maintaining that loyalty.
Yes, but if you have a clear conscience and you want to do things, if you think that you're doing the right thing, it's not necessarily a good thing to stay loyal in that situation if you know you're going to be manipulated.
Mm.
And it's a difficult thing to get out of that.
Yeah.
So for those people that are in those challenging relationships, those toxic relationships, for example, they're in a bad work relationship where they're being manipulated at work, manipulated in their relationship or their marriage, or could be parents and kids, it could be mates, it could be anything.
Could be anything.
I don't see any value in staying in that relationship.
It probably takes a few bumps.
It's difficult.
It takes a few bumps. You can't do it from the get.
You can't do it from the get-go. But if you become aware of it,
yeah,
and you have the ability to kind of step out and say, you know what? I'm aware of what this situation is. I know it's going to be hard, but I've got to make a call on this. I just can't stay in it. There is nothing wrong with breaking that thing that you feel is loyalty and stepping away. Because you're not being loyal to yourself and your own right to be happy, peaceful,
yeah.
And also pay it forward to others. Because when you put your energy in, when someone stays in a relationship, stays in a toxic environment, whatever it is,
yeah.
By staying in there, they're stealing that time away from you being able to give that energy to somebody else.
Yeah.
And you're not giving yourself that opportunity to give that energy that's better deserved by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because by leaving it, you're also doing the other person a favor, hopefully, if they take the hint, to, well, I might need to fix my shit here. Mm. Something's not quite right.
Give them an opportunity to
check I've been themselves. Milking this person, taking what I want, expecting them to be loyal back to me. Maybe I've got to think about what I'm doing and how I'm treating people. So give that person the opportunity to learn the lesson too. You move on give your energy to somebody else too.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, it's much more... From face value, some people on the, and to your point, not being in the four walls, some people on the outside might look at it and go, man, you turned your back on them after everything they did for you.
Yeah.
It's like, no. I didn't. I was a strong enough person to realize.
Because sometimes people don't even realize that they're doing it.
But that was my point about stepping away and letting them maybe potentially getting a lesson to go, well, why is this happening? Yeah. Why did they leave me for?
Yeah.
Because
sometimes
people
get addicted to the choice as well. They get addicted to the choice of the fact that they can rely on the loyalty of that friendship for them to do things for them because they're in a compromised state.
Mm.
Mentally, it's like whatever, you know, like people get stuck in that. But generally speaking, for everything that what you're saying, generally when there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
If you smell the smoke, it's probably fire. And yeah. In that regards, if you can feel that it's just, they're just taking advantage of it, it's probably more than likely they are just taking
advantage.
There's
more than likely they are.
More likely they are. Yeah. And a lot of the times, you know, when you smell smoke, you go, is that smoke? Let me smell that again. Fuck, that's smoke. You just know it's fire somewhere. You know, you don't just go, oh, no, it's not. It generally is. You just, you know, it is what it is kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
And I think
we
finished a number of different episodes when we dive deep into conversations like this.
Mm.
And it seems to be a common theme amongst a lot of things. And I'll say this. Someone's intent plays a huge part in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're empathetic enough to realize and look at someone's intent, it makes accepting or letting go of, disconnecting from, deploying more of it, loyalty.
Yeah.
Because you've got to look at what someone's intent is.
Mm.
If someone goes into a relationship, starts a job, whatever it is.
Joins a club,
whatever it is. And they go, my intent right now is...
To fulfill that aspect
and get something out of it in the end. I want to get a promotion. I want to become the number one star.
I want to enjoy my time here,
whatever it is. I want to promote. I want to make a certain amount of money. That's great. But if they show up every day and they're kind to everyone. They put in the good effort. They put out that good energy that you mentioned before to everybody. They're doing the right thing.
And obtain that conscious peacefulness. Yeah. Like,
what is their intent? Are they there for malintent? Malintent?
Yeah.
Or are they there for good intent? And if they're there for good intent and their version of loyalty is whatever it is, but they've got good intent, genuinely good intent,
yeah,
you're in a good spot. If they try and take advantage of it, or it's actually if their intent is hurting you in any way, even though it might be good intent, but if it is hurting you in any way, you have the right to ticket yourself out of that as well.
Well said, my friend.
That's what I'll put it down to.
Yeah, that is, you rounded that one pretty good.
But I'm loyal to the show, man. I'm not recording with anybody else.
Could you see yourself across the mic from someone else?
Hey?
Could you see yourself across the mic from someone else?
Nah,
neither could I.
I do weird shit sometimes, like I think it's because it's like I'm like you. I hope to think that I'm loyal to stuff. But I often wonder to myself, I'm like, what if like I wasn't like able to record the podcast with you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that'd be really sad. It wouldn't be the same show.
Yeah.
Like I'd get on the mic and I'd start talking. I'm like, but it's something's missing. Like I need you on the other side of the mic. I often just spiral down into situations where, whether it's through meditation or reflection, I put myself into those thought situations.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, yeah, I don't like what this is feeling like. I'm going to get myself out of it now.
I'm the same, man. I'm the same. Yeah. I have a different aspect of looking at it, but it's similar in a sense where it's like, if it doesn't feel right, then it just, well, for that point in time, it just kind of stays on pause until the next time.
Yeah.
Or because it just doesn't feel right. Some things just don't feel right.
Yeah.
Again, call it woo-woo, but it just doesn't feel right.
No, I agree. I think people have to learn to use...
You got to use like your... Not your brain.
You got to trust your instincts a little bit. It's a real thing.
Trusting instincts is not... Yeah, there's a lot of practicality in a lot of people and they don't believe in, oh, it's not instincts. It's either 1 + 1 = 2 and that's it. And but true.
Instincts also comes through experience.
Yes.
It does.
It does.
But anyway, I think that was my thoughts on the topic.
And I think your thoughts were pretty good, man.
That was deep.
I thought I'd throw like a spanner in the work with the whole thing. Because again, I'll reiterate, like, if I could choose between being loyal or not being loyal and just doing whatever I need to do to get by, I'll always choose the loyalty aspect because along the way, karmically, things just...
You can sleep well at night. You can look yourself in the mirror and you feel comfortable with who you see.
And that's a powerful thing for a lot of people. If you're not sleeping well at night, there's probably a lot of physical issues that are manifesting with your condition. But there's probably a lot of karmic things that you're not aware of that you're probably not doing correctly, which is not allowing you to consciously be at peacefulness.
Mm. I think that's another topic in itself. That one.
Yeah, definitely.
I think so. Because I don't sleep well much. But I think
I don't my think brain's I don't think so it's active. From your conscious. I think it's just because you're a light sleeper and there's other bits and pieces.
Yeah,
as
but
well.
I'm curious around that topic.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting topic.
All right. We'll pencil that one for
so we
time.
Should maybe pencil that in at some point.
All right, guys. We said at the start of the show, but we'll finish it off again. Like, share, review, rate, all that good stuff.
Tell a friend. Because you never know. We might call
you.
You
know, just... Like
if you tell a friend, that friend might be listening to us and we may call you.
There's a good chance that I'll probably call you because I'm on the phone heaps. But do that and journeytowherever.com.
Indeed it is.
Alrighty, let's wrap this baby up.
Oh, you know what was funny? Quickly before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day about like intros and I'm like, how we can like mix up an intro every now and then.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about your name. You know when you got those... UFC entrances where they say the person's name.
Yeah, yeah. Very gladiatorial
like. It's
entrance.
Like where they call it out. It's like, Eva. Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking, how does my name sound? It's like, you know, because there's two ways you can do it.
Yeah.
Like yours would be like, Rebetta. Right?
Yeah, it's very grand.
It's grand. Yeah. And mine was like, then mine's the one because it's like, C-L-G.
No. That sounds very villain-like. I'd go, Ivan, the something, something, C. No, she wouldn't do that one. I would go, Ivan, the something, something, C. La-G.
That's it goes, that's, it's the downwards.
Yeah,
it's
yours, like,
metal.
We just brought out our Bruce Buffer. All right, guys. Hope
Have
you
a good
enjoyed
week,
the show.
Everyone. Later. See you, bye. Bye.
Yvonne, a.k.a. Ragnar Lothbrok, see, love, G.
Who wants to be king?
Who wants to be king? Oh, I can't wait for season 6 part B to come out.
I know. I think I'm pretty sure they've done filming it. Just quickly, have you been watching more of SAS Australia?
Yeah, it's a good show.
It's good, eh?
Yeah, it's good.
Fuck.
We should do, when it finishes up, we'll do like a...
I think we should do a...
Like a breakdown
a
of
recap
it.
Of the show.
Yeah.
I look at this show just to say it, just put it out there.
Because you want
to
be on it.
Mate, if they have fucking SAS citizens,
yeah.
SAS Australia citizens,
yeah.
I'm signing up to get my knee surgery done.
Yeah. And I was going to say, you got to fix your knee first before you do it.
I am getting on that show. I know you want to do Survivor.
Yeah.
I would. The thought of being waterboarded and thrown into an ice cold river and punched in the face.
You want to be on SAS.
Damn.
Done. All right.
Later, everyone. Bye.
Right, bye.